It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio on the last Sunday of January 2016. That winter is moving behind us, certainly. It's been one of weather extremes across the country, but so far, other than some cold recently, we've been unscathed. I'm going to start off today with an incredible wildlife story that I was a part of last week, something that's just mind-boggling, and I think you'll enjoy it. And then I want to talk a little bit about the bison, or buffalo, that have been reintroduced to Madewin Prairie. And then I'm going to talk about a couple of whooping cranes being shot, which is just unreal that it could happen. And then if I have time, I'm going to spend just a moment talking about the presidential situation and people's views on conservation, which is something so far I don't know if anyone said anything. But let me start off with put yourselves in quail hunting. And in this case, hunting California quail, which are different from Bob White. They're a little bigger. The males have a wonderful sort of crown on their heads. It's like a little hook, and it's a beautiful top feather. And we were hunting California quail last week, and we came into a thicket, and we were actually hunting them with labs, not pointers, which, of course, makes life very interesting. You have a pointer or a setter, and they get a scent of a covey of quail, they lock up and they don't move, and it tells you they're quail there. When you have a Labrador, they start to wag their tails and their nose gets close to the ground and they get more interested, and you don't know what's going to get up. In this case, we were actually hunting pheasants and quail, and we assumed that we would have a cock pheasant in the air, these are wild birds, and all of a sudden, this explosion comes out of this gnarly thicket of Russian olives and tangled dead trees, a little brush pile along a fence line, and quail are going every which way. And I pull up and I try to shoot a bird going to the right, and the individual I was with pulls up and he tries to shoot a bird going to the left, and at the first report of a gun, right in front of us, I mean not 4 feet in front of us, this hawk comes thrashing out of the bush with a live quail in its talons and flies essentially between us. I could have reached out with the barrel of my gun and whacked the hawk. In hindsight, if I had been quicker, maybe I could have saved the life of a quail. The hawk took off and flew through us with this quail dangling from the bottom of its talons. I have never, in all the years I've had the pleasure of being in the outdoors, had an experience like that. I have seen eagles knock ducks out of the air up in Canada. I told the story years ago in the air. A golden eagle came racing across the marsh, and a mud hen or coot was just lollygagging, flying across the marsh on a beautiful fall day, and whack, this golden eagle hit this coot and sent it into Never Never Land. And in that case, it didn't even knock it to the water. It just plucked it right out of the air and was gone. I have seen bald eagles attack snow geese, also a story I told in the air, and where they harass them, looking for cripples. And then I have seen them go under the water to take a snow goose that was diving on them. I have seen eagles take ring-neck pheasants on the ground. I have seen great horned owls take ring-neck pheasants on the ground. I have never actually been in the act of hunting, walking in on a covey rise, and have the covey get up, and with it, a red-tailed hawk emerge with a quail in its talons. And what we suspect as we recreated this, needless to say, of course, we didn't shoot the quail. We were so distracted. And actually, then there was a later flush from that covey, and the guy I was with did shoot a quail. But what we think happened was that the hawk was sitting in the thicket and knew the quail were in that thicket and was sitting there over the quail. And we arrive with our dogs, and the hawk is buried in the thicket. It can't get at the quail, which are underneath it. But when the quail flushed, one of the quail went in such a manner that it went right by the hawk. Because, I mean, this was a bang-bang, instantaneous flush, grab, fly by us. It couldn't have already been on the ground eating the quail, because there's no way in the world the covey of quail would have sat there in a covey while a hawk ate one of their brethren. They don't operate that way. When a hawk goes over a wild covey of quail, the quail have learned that if you fly, you die, because a hawk is faster, no matter how fast these little bobwhite or California quail seem to be. To those of us trying to shoot them, they seem like speeding little bullets. But to a hawk, they're no game at all. They get up in the air, and bam, the hawk's got them. So they huddle, and they try not to be seen when they see hawks overhead. So our guess is that this hawk was in above the thicket with these quail, and the quail were huddled tightly, knowing that there was something over them. And that was their safety, that the cover was so thick that the hawk couldn't dive down. And I saw this several years ago on a winter's day in Illinois. I was driving along a country road, and I saw a hen pheasant in a thicket. And I happened to look above the thicket, and there was also a red-tailed hawk. And the red-tailed hawk was sitting on a tree limb over this thicket. And the hen pheasant was pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the hawk every so often would leave the tree limb from which it was sitting on and dive down and swoop over the thicket, trying to flush the hen pheasant, try to get to run across the ground into the open where it could get it, or to fly where it could get it. And I sat in the car with a great friend of mine who may even be listening this morning, and we watched this for about 25 minutes, this game of cat and mouse. And as one would figure, eventually happens, the hen pheasant decided, I can't stay here any longer, and the hawk sitting in the tree branch, 6 feet away over this hen pheasant, the hen pheasant's pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, running on the ground. All of a sudden, the hen pheasant makes a break for it, and we were all 10 yards away watching this, and the hen pheasant didn't know we were there. Hawk could have cared less. It makes a break for it on the ground, and the next thing you know, in an instant flash, the hawk is off the tree and rolls that hen pheasant, and just, bam, turns upside down, sat on top of it, and ate it. In this case, when the quail flushed, we think what had to have happened was the hawk was right there. It simply, in 1 beat of its wings, grabbed the quail out of midair and flew off. So one of those things where if you spend time in the outdoors, and you don't have to be hunting at all, you just spend time in the outdoors and you observe things, you can just be amazed. You can be amazed at the birds in particular, and the birds of prey, the hawks, the owls, the eagles. They are incredible hunters, and that's how they live. So that's my story of quail hunting. I did not shoot a quail that day, but I have a story that will go with me for the rest of my life. I can still look at the eyeball to that hawk as it went by me and see the talon sticking off of its feet with the quail clutched in both claws, both feet. That's a story that will go about that hunting trip for the rest of my life. If I had shot the quail, I shot another quail. So when I come back, I'm going to talk about someone who shot a whooping crane, a definite no-no, and why somebody would do it. I have absolutely no idea. It's just unbelievable that they would, but it happened, and it's tragic, obviously. So I'm going to talk about that, and then the bison and the Medewin. I'll be back in just a moment. I hope you're enjoying the show. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.
Winter is here, and it's always tough on the road, but when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN. Hope you're enjoying the show. And if you're just joining us, hope you enjoy the rest of the show. I'm going to talk for a moment about something that happened recently in Texas. A individual who I guess I can only call an idiot shot two whooping cranes. The problem is not only that they are one of the most endangered species in the world, but the problem is this individual is being called a sportsman. In other ways, terms, he's been referred to as a hunter. There is nothing in the code of sportsmanship that would call anyone who shoots a whooping crane, much less two whooping cranes, intentionally to be a hunter or a sportsman. They are an outlaw. They are a criminal. They are not a sportsman. And the media continues to show, I think, an intentional lack of distinction between the conservation community, which includes the sporting community, and the lawless community, which are individuals who simply shoot indiscriminately because it's fun. Last year, 2 years ago, you may recall, a bald eagle was shot on the Illinois River, and federal agents crawled over that Illinois River for a month trying to figure out who shot a bald eagle. And the comments were continuous. Oh, it was duck hunters. Hunters are all over the river. Duck hunters shot the bald eagle. Duck hunting on the Illinois River is a relatively small community. Everybody knows everybody. The moccasin telegraph, if you will, if somebody shot a bald eagle, if a hunter shot a bald eagle, the Moccasin Telegraph would have it all over the countryside as to who shot it, and that person would be exposed in no time because hunters don't condone that kind of thing. But yet the media said it was shot by a duck hunter, by a sportsman, and so we get branded yet again with being bad people, even though we are the reason that so many of these bird species exist. And some of the greatest protection for cranes has come from the sporting community. So this senseless, absolutely senseless act, there are only about 45 cranes, whooping cranes, in this flock. It's a non-migratory Louisiana flock. This bird was shot, these two birds were shot intentionally, of a non-migratory flock, and this person is not a sportsman. They're not a hunter. They are a criminal. And the International Crane Foundation, which has done fabulous work, led by George Archibald, who's now retired, he started it, has made the world aware of the plight of the world's endangered cranes, from China to America to Asia to Russia. He has been one of the great ambassadors for cranes. In fact, Dr. George Archibald went to China before President Nixon went to China to talk about cranes. And his life, his passion has been rebuilding the wild migratory whooping crane flock. And so imagine the sadness when an organization that has spent every day of its existence trying to have more whooping cranes finds that 2 out of 45 are shot by a poacher. Pretty sad. Moving on, though, to another species that in Illinois is actually making a recovery. Bison are a big hit at the Madewin Tall Grass Prairie, according to the Chicago Tribune. You may recall about a year ago, I commented on bringing bison or buffalo into Illinois and putting them in Madewin. And I have not been, I guess you could say, I've been somewhat skeptical of this, only from the point of view that we have a lot of things to do in the conservation community in Illinois. We have very little money, and when resources are taken to, in this case, basically create a zoo at the Matewin Tall Grass Prairie, I didn't think that was a great idea. On the other hand, I was in the Post, but I just didn't think it was a great idea for the expenditure of funds that that we have available. It turns out that the bison are very popular with people driving to the Matewin Tall Grass Prairie and having a look at them. You don't have to go to Yellowstone. In fact, well, if you go to Yellowstone now, you don't see bison the way you used to because, very simply, the wolves have eaten so many and chased them out of the park, which is not a bad thing. But in Illinois, we definitely have bison. We have them here at Matewin Tall Grass Prairie. And I'm thinking, as I tell you this story, I wonder if we can reestablish bison to the Tall Grass Prairie of Matewin, which is about, it's the largest grassland in Illinois, contiguous grassland. It used to be the old Joliet Arsenal, which now has been called, renamed the Matewin Prairie, and it's a fabulous area. But if we can reintroduce bison there, how about bringing back bobwhite quail there? How about bringing prairie chickens back? I mean, if we have the ability to really recreate a fabulous natural ecosystem just a stone's throw from downtown Chicago, then we ought to do that. And we ought to try to make it a place which is truly exceptional for bird and game species of Illinois that were once very prominent here, prevalent across the state during settlement and post-settlement era. And that would be a great thing then, in my view. Let's bring back and see if we can have prairie chickens come back to northeastern Illinois. They would not survive probably outside of the Matewin Tall Grass Prairie. And bobwhite quail, which have been just between predators and climate, mostly predators and farming activities, they've been obliterated. Most people don't realize that Illinois was some of the best quail country in all of North America. Today, their quail are few. They're mostly concentrated in southern Illinois. But Illinois had quail all over it. There are stories of the Duke of Windsor, who became king in England, the Duke of York, coming to what is today Dwight, Illinois, and shooting bobwhite quail. There isn't a bobwhite quail anywhere around that part of the world. But Matewin is in that part of the world. Matewin's very close to Dwight, Illinois. So maybe we take this energy that's occurring because of the buffalo returning to Illinois and how popular they are with people to really come back and try to reintroduce species that have a meaningful history in the state of Illinois. That would be a neat thing to do. I didn't get to the subject of politics. We're probably all relieved. I'll do that next week after the Iowa primary and see what if anyone's talking about the things that we care about, hunting and fishing and clean water. I'll be back next week with more on the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter in the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.